Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Mark. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Here's an important save the date for you. Thursday, October 25th, Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi and the Mother Teresa Shelter will hold their annual benefit fundraiser, which this year will honor Linda McCamey. She retired earlier this year after 13 years as Director of Catholic Charities and the Mother Teresa Shelter. You're encouraged to join in this celebration of charity and salute to a great lady of South Texas. For time, location, sponsor, individual table, ticket, and other information, call Shanette at 884-0651.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very good, Barbara. We're going to reveal a secret right now, and that is that I'm not in the studio today on the 14th. This Sunday, I'm in Rome. So on this day, because today, actually by the time you hear this, it will have already happened, but Pope Francis is canonizing 7 people, and 2 of them we would know the names right off. And one of them we would know right away is Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was martyred while he said Mass. And the other is Pope Paul VI, who will now be St. Paul VI. So, Pope Paul VI ordained me.
So he's very special.
He's very special to me. So I'm in Rome today, although I'm here today. You know what I'm saying. We're trying to fool the listeners who can't see us. But
it's technology.
Yeah,
Bishop.
Technology. So if you're hearing this on Sunday the 14th, I'm actually in Rome attending his canonization. And it's something I've grown to love more and more in the 43 years I'm a priest that now a saint ordained me. And I've been kidding with some of the priests that I have ordained and said, unfortunately, you won't have that privilege in life unless I get martyred or something like that. But anyway, it's a great honor to do that and to be with a few friends from the diocese to celebrate this mm-hmm. wonderful occasion. And so that's what's going on today. But we're still here a couple of days before that.
Exactly.
To present the gospel for the 28th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, in the very beginning of the Gospel, when the young man runs up to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" That word "inherit" struck me because I think it would be, what do I need to do to get to eternal life or to get to heaven? So what did he mean by the word "inherit" eternal life?
Well, there's always a good method, and I think it's a Jewish method, which is a very brilliant one because Jesus used it all the time himself. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever inherited anything?
Yes.
Were they close to you?
Yes.
Have you ever inherited from somebody you don't even know?
No.
Okay. Maybe that answers the question.
That does answer the question.
What must I do to inherit eternal life? You have to know the person who gives eternal life.
Ah.
You have to have a relationship with him. And Jesus goes on to say, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Now, I think in that, my interpretation of that is Jesus is saying, you know, "I've come in the name of the Father," but you need to know the Father.
Right.
And if you know the Father, if you love the Father, if you love God, that inheritance is certainly possible because only he can give it to us. We don't earn it. That's what we call grace. And so we have to be in a position in life which is fundamental to living life. We have to be in a position to receive that eternal life by building up that relationship. I think some people would say, you know, that I have received inheritance for someone, but that I maybe know fairly well. But sometimes, you know, Jesus talks about the commandments, you know, as don't defraud, don't bear false witness. Sometimes I'm struggling how to say this. We snuggle up to people.
If we think we can get something out of them. Right.
And is that inheritance or is that defrauding someone?
It's defrauding somebody.
So, you know, true meaning of inheritance is I'm a part of that person's life.
I don't expect anything.
I'm one with that person. That person and I have a relationship, and what is given to me can be unexpected, or, you know, we know that there's something, but to do anything in a way that exploits a relationship is anything but honorable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just take that first part of the gospel today, and it's a young man with Jesus was walking around who obviously had heard him speaking, and "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit this eternal life that you're offering?" Well, of course, we would say the only way to inherit something is to know the person who can gracefully hand it over to you, and that is to come to know God in an intimate way. I have a prayer here that I would like to kind of decipher for us today. And I don't remember if I've done this before, but I don't think I've talked about it here. I've talked about it in homilies and things. But it's a prayer from Romano Guardini. Have I talked about that?
No, you haven't.
I've just kind of discovered this in the past year, and it's really taken me to a, I would say, another level of depth with God the Father, who gives us in His grace what we need every day, but it's certainly eternal life. And the prayer is called a morning prayer, and it says this. It says, "Unceasingly, I receive myself from Your hands." So there's nothing more profound than to realize that my life is from God's hands. Many of us, we talk about being self-made, self-assured, self. In this prayer, which is the truth and what Jesus taught us, is that I receive myself from Your hands. And it continues, "This is my truth and my joy. Unceasingly, Your eyes rest upon mine, and I live by Your gaze." So our very existence is the fact that God is looking at us. He's searching us. He knows us. And that we live, we exist by His gaze. If God were to take His eyes off of us, in other words, we would not exist, because He is life. And continuing, "Teach me in the silence of Your presence." So again, we need to be in God's presence, but in His presence, in a quiet time, in a time of silence, time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, "in the silence of Your presence, teach me to understand the mystery that I am," the mystery that I exist. I mean, this is taking a person into a deeper level of awareness of life, that I exist, the truth of me, the truth of you, the truth of the baby in the womb is the fact that we are in God's presence, that we exist because of Him, not because of self-made, self-this, self-that. And it goes on, "And also teach me the fact that I am," in other words, that I exist through You, before You, and for You. This is total commitment that I see in this prayer. And of course, the more I pray it, the more I understand the real depth. So when you're talking about what must I do to inherit eternal life, Jesus gives all these things. This is what you must do or not do. You must not kill. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not bear false witness, defraud, and honor your mother and father. But the young man, the man who approached him, also understood, well, I've already done those things. In other words, you hear the words done. I did
checklist
those things. So Jesus replied. Then he said, "But teacher, I've observed all these things from my youth." But then Jesus understood that the man understood something. So he took it further. Looking at him, again, that gaze of God, he looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "Then you're lacking one thing. It's not just about doing this, doing that, not doing this, not go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." In other words, enter into my life, enter into relationship with me. Don't be distracted by so many things, but follow me. Look into my eyes. I'll look into yours. And I think we're out of time. We'll continue this after the break.
Absolutely. And we'll have a wonderful conversation also after the break. So please stay with us, and we will be right back. Haven't had enough fall festivals? Well, here's one for you you really don't want to miss. It's set for Saturday, November 3rd from 11 a.m. till 10 p.m., and Sunday, November 4th from 2 till 5 p.m. on the grounds of St. Anthony Catholic Church, 204 Dunn Avenue in Robstown. From the live music, games for the whole family, and delicious food, to the kids' cooking competition, specialty vendors, a special appearance by Mickey and Minnie Mouse, Winnie the Pooh, and friends, and so much more, everyone is assured of a good time. Get the whole story. Call the parish office, 361-387-2774. Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, you read that beautiful prayer, and then we were talking about the young man, and God tells him, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. And the young man went away sad. So it sounded like a deal breaker for him.
For him, yes. And I think this is, you know, again, I love these. When you interact or dialogue with these gospels, you really see the humanity of Jesus, but also the great hope and love that he has for us. So yeah, the young man's face went sad and his face fell because he had many possessions. So you would think, as you said, that's a deal breaker. So he goes back to just being a good person. But obviously Jesus was inviting him to something more, not just to be a good person. And I really want to call all of us, I just think we need a huge conversion of life. And I say that sincerely to every Christian and every person of goodwill, of every religion. We need to do better as human beings, as brothers and sisters, to not just be good people, but to be people that are called into a deep relationship with our God, a deep relationship. So this man said, oh my goodness, I've done all these good things, but he's asking one more thing. And what is that one more thing? The way I would describe it is he's inviting us into a relationship. The funny thing, or you call it a deal breaker, which is good, but I always wonder what was Jesus's expression, because Jesus obviously sees into the heart. So yeah, this guy's face fell and he went away sad. But I think Jesus was sitting there kind of with an interior smile saying, you'll see, you'll see, because life's not over. And as we travel through life, many things happen that really call us, invite us into that relationship that is pure with God that only he can see prior to. So Jesus, the gospel goes on, says, looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for people with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed. And so Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Then he says, it's not impossible. This is where, you know, we need to stick with the program. We might fail. We might go back to just being good people, following the checklist, not killed anybody, not committed adultery, etc. Jesus is calling me into a really eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart, face-to-face relationship. I'm not ready for that. I got too much going on. And Jesus is sitting and saying, I can wait. I can wait. Just, you know, I'm here. When you get all of that out of your system, you spend all your money, you lose all your fame and fortune, or you just stump your toes one too many times, or whatever it is in life, I'm waiting for you. And that's why he says, when they ask, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, for human beings, it's impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God. And so sisters and brothers that are listening to me today, and I say it to myself, if you're still walking through life just stumping your toe and doing little good things here and there, but something's gnawing at you from this gospel or from the gospel of last week about divorce, etc., if something's gnawing at you, it's probably Jesus saying, I'm here. I'm waiting for you to come to me, because nothing is impossible for God.
And it's never too late.
It's never too late. And I, you know, with this whole crises of the church today, crises in our government, crises over this, well, I won't put an adjective to it, this nomination for the Supreme Court and so many other political things, which that shouldn't be political, but it is. Jesus is just sitting there and saying, I got time. You play your little games, do your things, et cetera, but I'm here. And sisters and brothers, I invite all of you just to maybe go back to that prayer, or I'm going to read it at the end of our time here, and say, I need to have a closer, more sincere, more transparent, more real relationship with my God. God is God. He's not one of us. He's not a fellow human being, except in Jesus. When we're looking at God, nothing is impossible. And I believe for the church and its crises, for the many people who have been hurt by abuse, even for you, nothing is impossible. We can be healed. We can be healed. We can be changed. We can convert. We don't have to be just good people. We can be super people. But it has to come from our total reliance on God. As we go on in this gospel, Peter says, well, we've given up everything to follow you. And Jesus, I think either Jesus was confirming that, or he was saying, okay, let's put it to the test. If you really have left everything, then we'll be able to tell. Because he says, amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house, brothers, sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now and in the present age of houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. So the proof is in the pudding. You know, there are many of us who, I remember somebody telling us once, there are a lot of proud people, there are a lot of proud, faith-filled people in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pride.
In the sense, I did this, my name's on that. And what we see is following God and following Christ and giving up everything is really so that I will be recognized, which is pride. And pride's not going to get us into heaven. Humility will. And so I think at the end, we go back to that original question that you brought up and we talked about at the very beginning. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus, throughout this gospel, has taken us on a journey. You know the commandments. Let's start there. You cannot kill. You cannot commit adultery. You cannot steal, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, number one. Well, I've already done that. Okay, well, then let's go to the next step. The next step is, as I look at you, then give up what you have, give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and follow me. Eyes down to the ground. Walk away sad. Oops, not sure I can do that. So again, the guy, hopefully not lost, but Jesus showing his patience, saying, I'll be here. Just wake up and go about your life. But when you're ready and you've got it all out of your system and you really want what's of value, which is eternal life, which is what you asked for from the beginning, do you want eternal life? And I think as we meditate on this today, sisters and brothers, I would ask you and I ask myself, I don't think we do this clear enough sometimes. Do you want eternal life? Do you want to live forever? Or do you just want to have fun now? Do you want to live face to face in total love, peace, joy, and happiness for eternity? That's a question. That's the question that was asked here. What do I have to do to get that? Obviously, it was a value to this man. And I say to us today on this Sunday, is it a value to you? Is it a value to me? I've done good things, but something more is required of me. That I give up, you know, Jesus points out some things, but to follow him, that there's no obstacles in following him. I also recognize that he's patient with us. Sometimes conversion is immediate. Sometimes it's a slow process, but it happens. So Jesus says to us to remind us that nothing's impossible to God. It might be impossible for you, but God will work with you, work with me throughout life if we really, really, really want eternal life. Then the apostles, Peter, says, we've given up everything, houses and homes and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, all of our lands, our relationships. We've given it all up to follow you. And Jesus gives them kind of the litmus test. Okay, if you have, then you will see that your reward is not pride, is not a badge, is not a trophy. It's not recognition on the front page of the bulletin. You know, it's not this marker in the back that has your name on it. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for eternal life. And you'll know that you're on the way when you recognize that in this world, giving up those things, you've been given back 100 more. And I think for us as priests, and for me as a priest, I know as a bishop, you know, you do miss being around family. I talk to my family every once in a while, and they're all getting together, and I can't be there. But then I look around, and I have many more people around me than they have around them. That's the gift, and that's when we know that we're on the right path. And also there will be persecutions. I think we cannot forget that. If we want to go to heaven, if we want to have eternal life, we have to expect to be persecuted because persecutions purify us. We cannot fight with persecutions. They purify us. They cleanse us and cleanse our hearts and say, God alone, only God, only eternal life is what I want.
Thank you, Bishop.
Amen.
If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
I am going to use that prayer that I use from Romano Guardini, and I think if Marty would be willing to put this up on the website, if you'd like to have the copy of this prayer, you can go to the KLUX website.
Bishop, if you could explain to our listeners who he is.
Yeah, it's Romano Guardini. It's an Italian name, but his parents, I think, were Italian, but they moved to Germany or Austria when he was a young man. So he grew up German, you might say. Back in the early part of last century, he was a priest around the time of the Second Vatican Council and really came to have a great influence on the council, which is going from just following the law to entering into relationship. And I think this prayer really epitomizes his journey at the end of what that relationship with God really is for him and can be for us. So again, it's just called his morning prayer. Unceasingly, I receive myself from your hands. This is my truth and my joy. Unceasingly, your eyes rest upon mine, and I live, in other words, exist by your gaze, O my Creator and my salvation. Teach me in the silence of your presence to understand the mystery that I am. I exist. Also the fact that I am through you, before you, and for you. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. And thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.